Forever Dog.
So I watched Alien and Aliens, and then I was telling Brett, whose birthday we missed.
That's what I was going to ask on this, too. I noticed Brett had put a thing up about some birthday nachos.
But guess what? But here's the thing. Guess what?
What?
Because I logged on like a second before you did, and I said, Brett, is it your birthday? He said, no. And then guess when his birthday was. You'll never believe it.
Saturday.
Yeah, it was Saturday. It was on Saturday, yeah.
So oh my God. when he was traipsing around
Terralingua,
it was his own birthday, and he said he forgot.
This is a true story. I know it's like almost a trope of like people pretending to forget their birthday. Mm-hmm. It literally, with everything going on, it just completely slipped my mind that it was my birthday.
I would believe it in that case because you had driven so much.
Yeah.
And
a little delirious, a little disoriented.
You were high on chili.
Mm-hmm.
And low on
dignity. Terralingua, that's not a thing to say that Brett, you didn't have any dignity. I'm saying Terralingua seems like it strips everyone of their dignity.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel since first of all, you did get back, right? You're back and you're safe.
Yes, I'm back. I'm safe. I made it.
And let me just say, first of all, what Brett is talking about, what Julie's talking about, last week on the show, if you didn't know this, we did a thing, the culmination of the Terralingua chili cook-off thing. Brett literally went to Terralingua, Texas and participated in it. We did an amazing show that is...
We did our first ever live stream.
First ever live stream, certainly not our last ever live stream.
It's tremendous success.
Success creatively. It is a triumph, and if you haven't seen it yet, get the link and buy it.
You can buy it for $5, which is $5.
Link in the show notes. It's on Vimeo right now, just waiting for you. You can own it for life for $5.
Yeah, it's really it's 3 hours, right? 3 hours.
Yep, three plus. Yeah,
3+ hours. Guests, comedy, music. Julie does a song in this thing. I just want to tell you this.
Oh my God.
Julie does a song.
You guys were surprised, right? I surprised you both.
Oh my God. You.
I surprised you both.
Were you surprised when I did another Julie Klausner birthday?
I was so happy and so bowled over and so overwhelmed and so excited.
Well, guess what? I know what that felt like now, because when you did that song, I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is... it's such a high level. This is a showman.
It's the first time anyone's ever paid money to listen to us, so I wanted to make it. I wanted to make it good. I wanted to make it big, and I also wanted to do a tribute to Marty Short and Clifford singing San Francisco.
Amazing.
And we had a blast, and that was last week. And apparently, that whole time it was Brett's birthday, and he is telling us with a straight face, and I believe him.
He didn't. Too.
It's like 16 candles, except all of the family in Molly Ringwald's head is in like Brett's head. It's like everyone he knows is in his own head, and they all forgot.
It was like Herman. It was like Herman's head.
It was Herman's head. By the way, it was like Herman's head, and it was also like Herman's hermits.
It was also like Herman's hermit's head.
Is that something, Tom? Is that anything? Is that a thing? Herman's heads, hermits?
Herman's hermits' heads?
Hold on. Let's think about this. Sorry, Brett. We'll get back to you.
No, please. Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll get back to the glorification of Brett.
Of you forgetting the day he was conceived. It was like, it's like missing Christmas, and Jesus Christ is over here going, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Excuse me.
I think there is some friggin' frankincense and perhaps some myrrh is, for
I heard
the
there
newborn
might be some
king.
Some myrrh for
I don't know if there's like three men that showed up and they look kind of smart.
Am I in the right place? Because
am I in a manger or am I in a pret a manger?
Am I in a pret a yeah.
Herman Munster. Herman's Hermits.
Oh, Lily.
Herman's Head.
Oh my
something,
God.
Something, something. You know what? You know what people say also when they're I don't know, being human? There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. You find it.
You
all
find
we,
it.
All we do is find the jokes
all
on this thing.
All we do is find it, and then we beat it. We beat all the joy out of it, and then we move on to our next target.
Then we gotta worry about old Chili Man over here, whether he's gonna get stabbed out in the hills. Right?
What? I think that was well. I think that was part of it. I think I subconsciously forgot my birthday because I didn't want to know what happened to people on their birthday. And, you know, so presumably there would be something. There like would be that. Like some sort of like birthday ritual. You know, it's that kind of a place. So I think I was just sort of subconsciously trying to avoid anything that would really distinguish me as you know, like the birthday. That's a big thing. They would have to do something.
The climactic scene in Wicker Man.
Yeah, exactly.
When the Carvel cake is. Served and all the crunchies are ceremoniously
bees. The bees are attracted to the ice
not
cream
the,
cake.
Oh, not the bees, not the bees.
They like ice cream cake.
I'm gonna say both Wicker Men are great, and I'm going to stand by that.
Okay. Stand by your Wicker Man.
Stand by your Wicker Man.
Oh no. Oh yes.
And by the way, welcome to Double Threat.
Yeah.
I'm your pal, Julie Klausner.
And I'm Julie's pal, Tom Sharpling, which makes me your pal.
And we are here to be goofballs and
to larf it up.
So forth and so on. And
so, Brett.
Yeah.
You give us the after. Give us.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
What happened after we last spoke? You were there for the
you had judged
final judging.
The chili. And, you had judged the chili, and then you were walking around like the whatever you'd call it, like the concourse,
Chili City. Yeah,
Chili
yeah.
City.
And because you guys, you know, the live stream ends and you guys are all at home. You go back to your lives. I mean, I'm physically still in Terlingua and there's hours to go in this thing. So, I mean, the big thing that you guys missed was the trophy ceremony, which was quite an event. Because I sat down. First of all, you get sort of sit around this big stage and the ceremony is about to begin. And I'm thinking, you know, the trophy ceremony, they're going to do like top three and then we're in and out. So the guy gets up to the mic. He does a little preamble and then he's like, all right, let's get it going. Coming in at number 21. It's and so that they start the trophies at 21.
So what you're saying is that everybody gets a trophy at Terlingua. You come in 21st, you get a trophy.
I would like a mocha choca.
Yeah.
I'd like a mocha choca. Everyone want every. Everyone, yeah. gets everyone gets a mocha choca.
Oh, you can't just get a normal cup of coffee. You got to get a mocha choca latte with
everyone
the foam.
Everyone gets a choca.
Yeah.
21.
You know who's stuck in my craw? You know who's stuck in my craw from this whole thing? That one.
By the way, how is your craw?
How big is my craw?
Yeah.
Apparently not big enough to not have this get stuck in it.
All right. What is it?
That one old man who was like, you Yankees with the thing. Shut up about Yank. Let it go. At what point? What point you're going to.
I don't remember this. What was this?
It was a guy who looked like he looked like a poor man's Harry Dean Stanton.
You're going to have to be way more specific.
He was the one guy, the old timer that Brett got on camera late in the show.
The one where it was just his neck?
And he, yeah, the neck man. Yeah, that's exactly. Yes.
Yeah, one of the co-founders of Cassie.
Yeah. Well, he can, he, with him with a Yankee business, just drop it. Enough.
Why you can't Yankees they just say, with why your can't, chili. I know, why can't they just say globalists and bankers?
Yeah. Or just.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, you might as well just say you Jews and Jew adjacent.
There we go.
People.
And here we are.
Right?
And here we are.
I mean, am I wrong on that?
You're asking me. I make everything into that.
Now, look, whatever. He was the fact that this was a thing that we had Brett go there, and Brett went there in the spirit of communion.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and
let's not give him too much ambassador. Credit. He had the best time of his life.
Yeah, exactly. But he did go there. He went and did not go there and suddenly tried to tell Terra Lingua how to be. He went there respectfully.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and then this guy still got a harp on Yankees with a thing.
I really don't remember this.
Do you remember that, Brett?
He threw a little line, a little dig in. Yeah. They love that. They love going. The Yankees dig.
Of course they do.
So what happened? They announced number 21.
So it was very, yeah. So they're calling out number 21. And the other part of it, the other reason that dragged out so long, I mean, it took, the trophy ceremony took probably 90 minutes.
Everyone was drunk. That was the other thing that we didn't like call out explicitly. Everyone around you was drinking much beer.
There was a lot of, everybody was very drunk.
It was like
and
11 a.m. when we first started. Mm-hmm. Something on your end, and
there was like only a few people crowded around the actual stage. Everybody else was, all the other cooks were still way back in Chili City, which was like the big campground about 100 yards away where all the chili was being cooked. So for most of the awards, you would hear, you know, and number 21. Oh, also, and there's a whole anonymity thing. So they don't say names, they say numbers, and they don't know who it is until the person comes up and reveals themselves as that number.
So they like, say number 21, D11.
Yes, they would say like number 21, D11, and then literally from there'd be like 5 second pause, and then from 100 yards back, you would hear, yeah, and then you would turn around and you would see someone just walk very slowly from Chili City all the way up to the stage, really milking it. Nobody ran up; everybody really milked that walk. And so it took a long time, but it was one of those things that took so long. I'm gonna tell you what this. There was a lot of emotion. I kind of was moved at times. There was like people were crying. They were like hugging. They were like, there was generational things going on. Mm-hmm. Like somebody won it for their family for the third time in their family's history. There was a lot of that going on, and it was very, and I was outside of all of these dynamics, but watching them from an outsider's perspective was kind of moving and surreal. There was also one lady that I wanted to shout out who I'll never forget. She won one of the show categories. There were also like subcategories of things. She won one of the show categories. And as she's walking up to the stage, she had a pink jumpsuit on top to toe. And as she's walking up to the stage,
you sure
I'll try
it wasn't
to
an orange. It wasn't an orange jumpsuit. It wasn't that lady that helped out those two guys.
Yeah, from, prison.
Escape from Terra Lingua.
It might have been orange. I mean, the light was kind of dim at that point. I mean, it might have been an orange jumpsuit. As she's walking up to the stage, she looked around. She did like literally a lap through the audience before she actually went up on the stage to get her award. And she looked everybody in the eye as she's walking around, and she kept going, two times, two-time winner, two times. I'm a two-time winner, twice. I've won it twice, two times, one, two, two-time winner, twice, two times. And she just did that. Mm-hmm. That's not in any way an exaggeration. She did that, and she walked through the whole audience, kind of looking everybody in the eye and letting everybody know that she had won this category twice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not how many times she got COVID?
Five times.
Yeah.
So after it was over, after the awards were all given out,
yes.
Then what happens?
I hung out with. I'll tell you what, Julie. Ian could not stop talking about you after the live stream was over. Oh yeah.
What did Ian have to say about your old?
Ian was the documentarian there.
He looked like a young Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Julie. So I hung out with Ian and his cameraman Mike.
He couldn't stop talking about me, it was like. Then I'm going to get her on the washing machine.
I got to tell you, Julie is really.
What is that, Zappa? Are you doing a Zappa impression?
No, it's me, Sam Elliott.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I really enjoyed looking at the beauty of Julie Klausner. I think I might make my way up to New York City one of these days.
New York City? Wait, Brett, what did he say? What did he say?
So Ian and I hung out for a while. He's a cool dude. We talked about a lot of stuff, but he definitely kept coming back to the topic of you. And
yes!
He said he I'd say when we were sitting there about halfway through this, you know, we were like 60 minutes into this 90-minute trophy ceremony. We sat next to each other the whole time. He's asking me about you. He's like, that woman on the live stream, like, what's her deal? And so
what's her deal?
I start monologuing. I start going like, oh, well, she's an incredible comedian, incredible writer. She made one of the best TV shows of all time. You know, she's a good friend.
Meanwhile, Brett, you are loaded because the cameras are off. Like you're not on mic anymore. You're probably on like, I don't even know what beer. You were nursing a beer at this point. The beer is nursing you. It's like in Russia.
Yeah.
I'm just telling him all the things that I know about you, all the great things. And then meanwhile, I look over and he's just scrolling through Google image search of pictures of you. And he holds up the camera and he goes, is this Julie right here? And I go, yeah, it's her. And he just goes, damn.
Wow, look at that, Julie. Looks like someone just made a love connection.
Yes!
And it was the lustiest, hoardiest damn I've ever heard in my life.
This is oxygen. This is like the part in Speed where you're running out of fuel and they're like, we figured out a way to change the fuel and now you're full again.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is.
Yes.
Looks like someone just made some chili love.
Or just some sweet relief, some Mylanta. That's how I spell relief.
Yeah.
I-A-N.
Well, Julie, I'm going to just say this.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody should have gone to Terralingua like I've been joking about all year.
Oh boy, I don't know about that.
Next year we could have had a Terralingua
wedding.
Brett
with his LA, what was the hat you were wearing? It was Los Angeles.
Wearing a little Dodgers hat, yeah.
Yeah, see, like I show up, I might as well be wearing a yarmulke. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it's very, very different someone like,
I think this is chilly.
I don't think it would be right kindly.
Well, Ian would have definitely looked out for you, I'll tell you that.
Oh my goodness, I love this story.
I just want to ask you one question before the final chilly thought I had.
Yeah, of course.
Have you given any thought, Brett? Mute yourself on this.
Mute yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yep, got it.
He can't hear us. Did you give any thought, and there's no offense to Brett, who by all accounts is a stand-up citizen. But you know what?
What?
Have you given any thought to the ease with which they made him a judge?
I know.
For the finals of this thing. Can you imagine you've dedicated your life to chili and then you find out, oh, we just appointed this one guy, one of the judges. Why? Oh, because he came here from California. And they're just like, yeah, you could be a judge. They don't know if this guy's ever had chili. Or like what makes him an expert to be a judge?
Well, I mean, there are celebrity judges on things. Maybe they treated him like he was a celebrity.
Then we got to start going. If they're going to treat Brett like a celebrity, what happens when we roll up on that thing?
Listen, I've been inviting you to judge the, like, there's like that cannoli eating contest they do every year at San Gennaro where, you know, which one of these like abominations can stuff the most tubular food into their, you know, head holes.
Sure.
The fastest. Cannoli eating
contest. Yeah.
Right. So like I'm saying I'll bet we could get that gig as a judge.
Yeah. Why don't we start being judges of things?
Fine. Yes. Finally. Right? This is where.
You know, we should start with?
The answer is yes.
You know what we should start with? Wet t-shirt contest.
Yes. Absolutely.
We should just be judges at a wet t-shirt contest.
But no one's wearing the t-shirts.
I don't know. We'll just judge wet t-shirts. Yeah, exactly. Just a pile of wet
t-shirts.
Right.
That's what I mean. It's like they come out like on a hanger or something, and someone just like, or they pass it around, or they just bring out hold it.
Yeah, they just bring out like a tub with wet t-shirts.
Right, and they like pass it, and we're just like, oh, this one's a little cold.
Yeah, this one's very wet.
And this one is like, I like that it's, you know, it's a Hanes. It's like a heavyweight, but the more it's been out in the air, the colder it is. Mm. And I actually prefer like a warmer temperature.
Yeah. This one is,
and then we start sucking on them.
Yeah. And then they're just,
then we're
like,
just like, this water tastes a little,
this water tastes like, a little t-shirty.
It's like, you idiots, there's bleach in that water. Yeah. And we're just like,
then we wake up in the hospital side by side in the emergency room.
Uh-huh.
Hooked up to, and we're like, IVs and stuff. You guys poisoned yourselves.
We go, who won? That's the first thing you hear from our from our mouths. Who won?
Did the Gildan t-shirt win?
I think we should start with a wet t-shirt contest. Yeah. And then we should go to a wet sweatshirt contest.
Yeah. Then just like a wet jacket contest. Like winter coats thrown in buckets of water.
The best one to do, I think, which is actually like a really good idea, and I'm okay with using human models for this. Mm-hmm. Ready? This is a good idea. We'll have like sexy people.
Yeah.
Men and women.
Yeah.
People of all genders.
Mm-hmm.
Hear like sexy music, like I don't know, like Hot for Teacher or something comes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone walks down the aisle. Wet hat contest.
Oh, a wet hat.
So hot, so sexy, so interesting, so cool, so warped.
Like a wet,
like what a warped idea. Like what kind of like maniac, what were they high on when they thought of this? Like I don't know. Yeah, but like, I don't care because I love it.
Like a wet like ski hat.
Well, we have, that's one category, wet ski hat. We have wet baseball caps.
Mm-hmm.
We have wet cowboy hats, and that is important to see how much water has pooled.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they like, that's one of the tests is like each, okay, every judge has an empty like glass in front of them, and the contestants have to squeeze their hats to see how much water their hats are holding.
Yeah.
And the people who are holding the most water in their hats, they win like that category of most water in their hats.
Yeah.
Because there's other categories.
Oh, there's got to be other categories.
Besides wettest hat.
Yeah.
Because that is one category, wettest hat.
So we're looking to judge some wet t-shirt contest.
Hold on. Sorry. Yeah. I just realized there can be no other categories. I just thought about it. I tried to think of other categories. I can't.
And just has the to answer be wettest is hat.
No, it has to be wettest hat. And listen, I don't think that precludes there being different kinds of hats.
No.
Except sombreros. I'm ruling out giant sombreros.
I don't think it's fair. I don't want no wet sombrero.
I don't think it's fair. And also the giant sombreros, if you think about it, they're made out of like a spongy material. These have to be real hats.
What about like what about like a wet beret?
Like you want Curtis Sliwa to enter?
Yeah. I want mayor of New York City, Curtis Sliwa.
And congratulations to Mayor Sliwa.
He won in a landslide victory. The people have spoken.
Yes. A landslide of kitty litter. This is how he would cheat. He would turn his beret upside down and he would use it as a bowl. He would balance a felt bowl of water and then he would wring it out and he would say, look, mine's the wettest hat. And then all the other beret owners who are wearing their berets properly would be so mad.
The rest of you huckleberries don't have a hat half as wet as my hat. And then also what I do with my hat, I turn it upside down, fill it with meow mix, and then set it on the floor. And then one of my 80 cats starts eating.
I swear to God, if I were a single issue voter, I would have so happily campaigned for him.
Mm-hmm.
My single issue being a cat freak.
You know what would have been great? If you had said, I'm back in Curtis Sliwa, you would have been in like ads and have been just like,
I know he would have done a real, like, I would have been very like forward facing.
You would have been like that lunatic who was like, the best is yet to come. Remember when she did that
Guilfoyle?
Guilfoyle. Yeah.
Kimberly Guilfoyle. It sounds like a spell that a witch would cast. Trouble and toil, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Eye of Newt.
Yeah.
Sage of Brush.
And then suddenly,
this planet into mush.
And then suddenly, out of the cauldron, she rises with her hands like up, Like, like the best is yet to come.
I also like that woman. Remember that woman who ran for office and there was a rumor that she was a witch? And then she made a political ad saying, I'm not a witch. And
Christine
that was like
O'Connell,
the work.
Was that her name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That. And then people were like, she shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you're not, I don't know. I think that was pretty great that she put out an ad saying, I'm not a witch. And she tried to like be kind of easygoing and laughing about it.
Yeah.
I would have leaned in. As I like to quote my good friend, Sheryl Sandberg. I saw a funny meme around Halloween, which was like, people are like, don't be careful because witches are going to poison your children's candy. And people, funny people I follow on like TikTok were like, why would we poison the candy? That would poison the meat, meaning like we're going to eat your children. Mm-hmm. It was a funnier joke as a meme. What's this? Christine O'Donnell.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect, but none of us can be happy with what we see all around us. Politicians who think spending, trading favors, and backroom deals are the ways to stay in office.
I've never seen
I'll go to Washington and do what you'd do.
Convincing piece.
I'm Christine O'Donnell, and I approve this message.
I've never seen any video that has convinced me more that a person is a witch.
Yeah. Like, you could see a video called Why I Am a Witch.
And I'd be like, eh.
I'm not a witch.
She's a witch.
I'm you.
A witch.
Well,
witch.
I'm a witch.
Well, I'm a witch.
I guess you're a witch, too.
Tricked ya.
I'm not a witch.
I'm not a witch.
I'm you.
I think every direct address to camera should start that way.
With I'm not a witch?
I'm not a witch.
Yeah, and if somebody doesn't do it, then you're just like, well, I don't know. They never said they weren't a witch.
Can we get Christine O'Donnell on the show?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, working on it. Can I come back off mute?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, come on.
Could you get her on the show with an actual witch, and then the witch can talk to her and be like, what's your problem with us?
That's a great idea. Yeah, let me work on that.
People in the Wiccan community love me.
So,
well, yeah, the last thing before I went on mute, I remember the last thing that you guys were discussing was you were deriding my qualifications for being a chili judge.
No, we never said that.
No, we were just saying we weren't deriding. We were just wondering that they took
wondering who the guy who killed himself is that you replaced. What his story was.
Well, I got to tell you something. I looked into the history and the culture of taste testing before I went out there. I took inspiration from the greats. I actually prepared for this. And one person I looked at, and I wanted to introduce you to this person for our first clip here. And I want to thank listener Maxwell for sending us this clip a while back. Is a guy named John Harrison. And John Harrison was the official taste tester for Dreyer's ice cream for decades. Okay. He's a legend in the tasting community. It's said that Harrison tasted an average of 60 ice cream flavors on a daily basis. And based on his own estimates, he has tasted a few hundred million gallons of ice cream during his career at Dreyer's. And there are even sources that say he created the cookies and cream flavor, the famous cookies and cream flavor of ice cream. Might have been
by taking two quick bites. Well, he was like, hold on, let me cleanse my palate. Yeah. I just tried this vanilla ice cream. Let me just have a quick cookie in between. Yeah. And then he was like, guys, there's something going on in my mouth. Someone write this down.
I just had an Oreo cookie. And
he grabs someone by the lapels of their lab coat and starts shaking them.
I'm telling you, what if?
Yeah.
You smush a cookie into that ice cream.
Brett, this guy's name is John. His name is what? Jim Morrison?
John Harrison. And in 1997, he was actually awarded the American.
He was awarded what?
He was awarded the American Tasting Institute's Master Taster of the Year, which is really the supreme award you can get in the tasting community.
That seems like a goal for you.
I'm going to add to the list. I mean, look, I'm inspired. I want to show you a video of this guy tasting some ice cream. This was really what I used as a model before I went down to Terlingua. If you guys are going to get into some tasting competitions as well, this might help you as well. So here's John Harrison going to town on some ice cream.
I'm so into this. Wait, a couple things about this Jim Morrison character just before we see him. I'll bet he hears. I don't know if this is like one of those, you know, news stories where they send an anchor. But I'll bet at one point someone goes, I wish I had your job.
Yeah. Yo, hey, hold on a second. You eat ice cream all day for work? I wish I had that job.
So in tasting, what we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon.
Ugh. Oh, yuck. No.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up.
Oh, my God.
That top note. That cream. Pure vanilla. Sweeteners.
Legend. Absolute legend.
Yeah, legend. Real legend. The only thing legendary about him, now I don't like ice cream anymore.
You gotta get all those 9,000 taste buds. Get all the cream, all the flavor.
Play that again, please. Play that
right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm gonna invert the spoon. Cover all 9,000 taste bud. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla.
Oh, my God.
Sweeteners.
Sweeteners.
That's a 10.
He's doing this thing with his hands around his mouth where he's indicating sort of like, it's almost like he's conducting an orchestra.
You have to realize when I get the flavors going, it really is like I feel like I'm John Philip Sousa. And I put the, I scoop the ice cream. You just do a little. First of all, he explains how to put ice cream on a spoon. Just scoop a little bit here and just make sure
from
you get
the top. That's the warmest part.
Are you going to go from the bottom of the gallon of ice cream?
You don't turn it upside down, get out your power drill.
First thing you do, you get your ice cream, turn it upside down, get out some power drills, drill it into the bottom of the container. Goes,
by the way, you all know I'm the driller killer.
Yeah. They call me driller killer, and I also am the ice cream killer.
That would have been okay if it were a dog going.
But not if that were like that okay a bulldog. If it was a dog. Be like, yeah, your dog's kind of weird. You got a weird dog.
I just mean with those chomp, 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 chomp noises with his mouth. Because I think that's cute when I hear a dog make those noises. Because
dog's not going to do 12 times in a row, proudly do it 12 times in a row like this lunatic.
Go sweeteners. Get the cream, all that cream.
And then he points to like the top of his head because he's really excited that the flavor is like going up to his dumb brain or something.
That's a 10.
I got to also say it's very distracting, like the wedding ring on his hand, because I'm thinking about the poor woman.
Yeah.
He comes home and kisses at night and he's like,
Janet, I do take thee to be my wife.
He goes, you can kiss the bride. And he goes, Revlon lipstick? Yeah.
No, that's a 10.
I think that's a fire and ice fire and ice shade.
All right, it's time to kiss the bride. So I step up. I
invert my I pucker my lips.
Pucker my lips. And then kiss her. She's got intelligence, beauty. She got a great heart. Yeah, this is a 10.
Let's watch that one more time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One more. Let's watch it two more times.
Let's watch it three more times.
What we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon.
Ugh.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up. That top note, that cream, pure vanilla, sweeteners. That's a 10.
I also wanted to say this. This dude's knocking back Edie's ice cream.
That stuff's not so good.
It's not a 10. It's no way that there's a 10. This guy's Edie's. In the pocket of Edie's.
Big Edie's.
He's in the
pocket. Edie's is anymore, made though. By dryers, so he's definitely a company man, right in the company line there.
Makes sense because watching this guy, I couldn't be drier. He's also like whatever you think he looks like. He looks exactly like that. He's got a little bow tie. He's got, you know, science or like social study teacher glasses.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, like, no offense, but like sometimes like men as they age, their ears become enormous and and they have just like the lobes like get like there's like an indentation on the lobes because the lobes are just like, they're like take, it's almost like a plant where you're like, oh, where did that tendril come from?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to watch it three times. That was one of three.
Okay.
Also, what does he say? Sweeteners? Is he like, is that sugar? Does that mean sugar?
Sweeteners.
He's like vanilla sweeteners.
What we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon. Cover all 9,000 taste buds.
It's like he's bragging that he has 9,000.
Warm it up. Ugh. Grabbing up that top note, that cream, pure vanilla. Sweetener.
Gross.
That's a 10.
He's a lunatic.
He's a madman. He's a madman. Also, this guy just broke into the he just broke into this lab. He bought a white jacket at like a uniform clearance, whatever. He's like, I'm the best guy. I'm the best guy. That's me. I'm the best guy. And they're like, oh, okay. He goes, I know what I'm doing.
I kind of know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, and somebody's finally just like, he didn't know that was chocolate ice cream. Like, he got something very basic wrong. He just does this thing with the flap in his lips, and he talks about top notes. And
I hate when he says he's warming it up with his
warm
mouth.
It up.
Aerate it. Because aerate it with what? Your open mouth because you're talking to us? I hate him. Also, how dare he take credit for inventing cookies and cream? Would you listen to this man if you worked at an ice cream flavor development facility and this guy comes in and he's like, hold on a second, guys. I have a idea.
First of all, I just want to say, there's nothing to invent with that also. People have been dipping cookies in milk since the beginning of time. And this guy finally decides to take a glass of milk that gets whipped frozen.
That's what I'm saying. I think this guy is a scam artist.
Yeah.
Well, to his credit, I just want to say that according to a world report on John Harrison, his taste buds are so fine-tuned that he can immediately taste the difference between 12% and 11.5% butter fat in a product.
Based on what?
And also good for him.
Study. I don't believe you. I don't believe a world report.
No, that was a coin flip, and he just went, yeah, that's the 12, and he got it right, and he was safe forever.
Yeah, this one's the 11.5.
And then he watched the guy's face, and he was like, wait, I mean the other one.
Wait, no,
sorry,
which one did I say? Yo.
Is that the
one.
Third time, or do we need to watch it one more time?
Well, no, we can wait. I've got another. In addition to John Harrison, I also drew inspiration from the master sommeliers of the world. Have you guys seen the documentary Somm before?
No. Is there a lot of like mouth swishing?
I think there's a little bit of swishing. There's a lot of some smelling. There's some sniffing. There's some swishing.
Spitting.
This is from the documentary Somm, which is there's a couple of people who are applying to be master sommeliers, which means they are there. I think there's only like 80 of them in the world, is the highest degree in wine tasting. And they're studying for the exam, and it's this very detailed exam. And the centerpiece of the exam is a taste test where you have to identify a wine Its region, its varietal, all that stuff based solely on the taste. And so this is a guy here studying to be to take the master
and just,
sommelier
and just
exam.
Before we watch this, Brett, is this something you could see yourself doing, or is wine too pretentious for you?
Wine's a little too pretentious to me. It is also a you can't do, I like to kind of, you know, I like to sort of float around, have a couple different interests. If you're doing wine, you are only doing wine. It is
really
so difficult and so detailed. These guys literally, they live for wine. That's the only thing. And not
life.
All of them pass the test even in the documentary. So it is, you can't do, it's a little pretentious. It's also too sort of single-minded for me. I like to, you know, have a couple different interests going at once. So,
okay.
So here is a guy studying for the exam.
Wine one is a white wine, clear, star bright. There's no evidence of gas or flocculation. The wine has a light straw core, consistent to green reflections in the edge, medium concentration of color. Aroma's coming out of like this lime candy, lime zest, crushed apples, underripe green mango, underripe melon, melon skin, green pineapple, and palate. One is bone dry, really this like crushed slate and crushed chalky note, like crushed hillside. There's white florals, almost like a fresh cut flower, white flowers, white lilies, no evidence of oak. There's a kind of a fresh, like that freshly opened can of tennis balls and like, seriously, and fresh new rubber hose I get.
That's a new one, good, I like that.
Structure. Acids medium plus, alcohol's medium, complexity's medium plus. Initial conclusion, this one is from the New World. From a temperate climate, possible grapes are Riesling, possible countries are Australia. Age range is 1 to 3 years. I think this can only be one thing. This wine is from Australia. This wine is from South Australia. This wine is from Clare Valley, 2009 Riesling high quality producer.
Wine one is Clare Valley Riesling.
Good.
Wow.
Man's having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable watching.
No, it's horrifying. He's just like,
it's like free associating. Like half of those were XTC lyrics.
Yeah. Rubber garden hose.
Was he right, Brett?
He got that one right. Yeah, he got that
did?
One right. Yeah, he got that one spot on.
Oh, God
I don't
bless
know.
Him.
I'm concerned about those people. They seem. I'm concerned. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, what did you think of that, Tom?
Well, let me sample it again. I thought the clip was, I thought the guy was annoying. I thought he was, bizarrely, in his own universe and speaking only to himself. He scared me. I want nothing to do with him. I give that a 10 I give that a 9-1-1 if I see him coming. That's a 9-1-1.
Notes of paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Definitely some antisocial tendencies. Yeah. I am completely freaked out by that.
Yeah.
That was a little sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Little yeah. Like, hey, who's the android, right? Yeah. That's what I'd say on a spaceship. I go, hey, right? Who's the android?
Who's the android, huh?
Who's the android? Beep, boop, which one of us is an android? I'd get that out of the way. Okay, this is my first night on the spaceship, Tom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first night on the spaceship.
90% of what I would do would be pretend to swim. I'd be like, I'm doing the backstroke. Like I would be doing all of the silly stuff in zero gravity. I'd do the breaststroke. I'd do the backstroke.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd bring a fishbowl at some point and I'd put it on my head. And I'd be like, anybody seen my helmet? Or I'd be like, hey guys, you like my new helmet? Okay, sorry, go ahead, Tom. What
oh
would
no,
you do?
What I would do is I would open up I'd be like, I brought a little surprise for everybody, to open up a can of turkey gravy and just pour it out, then let the turkey gravy float around, and everybody's just like, watch out, you idiot.
And then
there's
you,
just turkey gravy floating around in our
It would be fun though if it was just one
like and it's just there for a while, they'd be like, Julie, give me that fishbowl. We're going to try to get the turkey gravy.
I'd be like, I can't get it off of my head.
You'd be like, okay, it won't come off. And then they're just like, then like the captain comes back. He's like, what's going on? He goes right into the turkey gravy.
And then he looks over at me and you brought a squeegee and you're squeegeeing the gravy off of my fishbowl helmet because you're being nice.
And I'm making sure it squeaks. And then he realizes it's me making the squeaking sound. It's not even making that sound with the squeegee. I'm going.
And then finally, all that's cleaned up. The fishbowl is off my head. Mm-hmm. And we're all sitting around eating our space dinners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I go, all right, who's the android?
Yeah.
Let's all go around and say something that we'll play game. Mm-hmm. I say we'll play like a parlor, like a party game. Like we'll do that thing where we all write something on a card and we put it on our foreheads, you know?
Yeah.
But I like switch up the card so everyone says android except for me. And then as soon as I decide someone's an android, I just grab like, I don't know, fire extinguisher. I just keep trying to get the guy's head off. And I was like, come off, you android head. I saw Alien. I've seen Alien before, but I saw it again last week and I loved it. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that in the late 70s, they thought that like white, because they made the android's blood white. And I don't think that they like acknowledged how porny it looks when the guy's like covered with like white, quote unquote, blood. Because I was like, oh, I've seen movies like this. It's like, honestly, like he just got started.
Yeah.
And miles to go before I sleep.
And then you knew who enters the room?
The kitty cat?
No.
Oh no, that guy. If I was on a spaceship.
This robot's got the white blood. Let me just test this here. Yeah, it's very viscous. It's
metallic? Metallic?
It's like metallic taste. Yeah, I give that a 10.
I would, if I were on a spaceship with that guy, I would open the space hatch.
Okay.
And I would kick him through it. And they'd be like, astronaut Julie, what are you doing? You're putting all of our lives in danger. And I'd be like, shut up. Because he's talking about the astronaut ice cream the whole time. He's like, ooh, it's powdery. And
I just want to also do another taste test here. Of got some salvia. Want to taste test this salvia? Here's, okay.
Okay, the floor is made of hexagons.
The floor is made of hexagon. I feel like I've been shattered and broken into cubes and reassembled. Nothing makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a 10.
I would push that guy into outer space.
Yeah.
I would push him into outer space.
I want to see a shirt of us in space.
With me with a fishbowl on my head.
And me with a can of turkey gravy.
And you with a can of turkey gravy and a squeegee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you go to space?
No.
Brett, you would. I bet you would. You would. I bet you would.
Wait,
hold on, Tom. Did you already say you would?
Yeah. I mean,
I know you would.
I don't like the culture of this whole billionaire space race thing, but an affordable way to go to space, sort of on like a homemade, you know, like a sort of homemade spaceship kind of deal, I would do that.
Wait, well, that's terrifying. I thought you meant like in the olden days when you get in the, you know, like the Challenger or something.
You know, Brett's big problem with this whole space thing is the stuff is not homemade enough.
Yeah, he wants to be on an indie ship.
Yeah. He wants to be on the forever dog of spaceships.
No corporate funding.
That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, if Jay Leno.
Okay, keep going.
Where I was going with this. If he, because he like fixes old cars, right? Mm-hmm. Or does he like, Yeah, like if he got into that, but with old spaceships, and he decided to shoot people into space.
Yeah.
Using the NASA technology from the 80s.
Yeah. Mavis, start the countdown clock. Start the countdown clock, Mavis. I'm going to launch him into space.
You know my theory that Mavis is an automated artificial intelligence.
Yes, Jay.
Starting the countdown clock now.
Countdown sequence initiated, Jay.
Countdown sequence initiated.
Thanks, Mavis.
Brett will go to space. Tom will go to space. I will not go to space unless, I don't know. I'll think of I've got to have the greatest pussycat in the world like she did in Aliens. Here's why I love cats. In the movie Alien, one of my favorite things in that movie, and I love it so much, but one of my favorite parts is Sigourney Weaver is like, oh shit, I gotta get away from this fucking aliens. Aliens made by H.R. Puff and stuff. Giger, and it's so scary. Uh-huh. It's got two sets of teeth, and both of the sets of teeth are freaking glass.
Yeah.
And then she don't know what's behind her. Cat goes, hiss. The cat hisses at the alien, and she knows it's behind her. And I'm thinking to myself, cats are like, I could take that guy.
Yeah.
I think that's so funny to me that every cat thinks that they can, like, I could take him.
Yeah.
I think that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that, Tom? I know you like cats.
I do like
but
cats.
But you're more of a dog guy.
More of a dog person, but I always like cats.
And do you respect a cat that would hiss at an H.R. Puff and stuff, Giger monster?
I like a cat. If a cat would... Because the rap on cats is that they don't care about humans. Right?
Well, I mean...
So when a cat throws a bone to a human...
They have a very different relationship to humans than dogs do, for sure, yeah.
But when a cat suddenly says, you know what? I like humans enough to hiss. I'm like, good for you, cat.
Yeah, but you know that cat kissing had nothing to do with, like, protecting Sigourney Weaver. It was just the cat being like, I don't like you. You're in my house.
But it helped, though.
It helped her. Mm-hmm. And they had a nice little snuggle at the end. No spoilers!
No spoilers.
Well, speaking of androids, I got another clip here for you. This one, wow, this is quite a clip here. This comes from Sean. And this is a character... he didn't last so long, but this was a character from the Showbiz Pizza universe. You guys remember Showbiz Pizza?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like Chuck E. Cheese with the animatronic stuff?
Yeah. Similar to Chuck E. Cheese, animatronic characters. And all the Showbiz Pizza animatronic characters were animals. So you had Fats Geronimo. He was a piano playing gorilla. You had Billy Bob, a guitar playing bear. You actually had a wolf ventriloquist, which is interesting, called Rolf.
Not impressive. At all for a freaking robot to do ventriloquism, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't move his mouth. Oh, okay. Well, didn't have the robot.
He was programmed not to.
Yeah. Jay, this is Mavis. Would you like to touch some of your Tonight Show money?
Activating the Tonight Show money in 20.
Cancel that initiation. 19, I still don't want to touch my Tonight Show 18, money yet.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Oh, no.
17, 16, 15.
Anybody hear about J-Lo? With a big butt? Remember that? Isn't it amazing that was an actual part of the culture was Jennifer Lopez has a big butt. Was like an active... issue for some people.
Yeah, but you're telling me if Jay weren't back on the air that it wouldn't have been like, what about the Kim Kardashian? She's got a big butt. Why don't you just say it? Do that again.
It's kind of, anybody see this Kim Kardashian with the thing? She's got a big butt. Has anybody seen the news? The Kardashian family. I mean, what's going on? Big butt. And then finally, a network executive comes in and just like, Jay, I just look, the show's been killing it. You're amazing. I just have one thing. You're kind of not telling jokes anymore. You say a famous person and then you just yell out. Anybody see this as Mr. Rogers? With the thing, he's got a big butt. Like, first of all, Mr. Rogers has been dead for 38 years. Secondly, I don't remember him having any sort of noticeable butt.
Senator Joe Manchin. You know.
Anybody see the Senator Joe Manchin when he says a big butt? So Brett, you were starting to play a clip of something. What now?
Yeah. So Showbiz Pizza was known for these animatronic characters, all of which were animals. However, they did temporarily try out a human character. They tried to add a human character to the mix. He didn't last very long. He was tested in 30 stores and then discontinued pretty quickly here. Yeah. And his name was Uncle.
Sorry. Hold on. His name was what? Uncle what?
Uncle what?
Uncle Touchy?
His name was Uncle Clunk. Uncle Clunk.
That's worse than Uncle Touchy. I thought I went too far saying Uncle Touchy, Uncle Clunk.
Everybody have a great idea for the animatronic robots. We're like, all right, the Showbiz Pizza board meeting. I need new ideas here. Things are getting a little stagnant with our animatronic world. What about a human one that's the name's Uncle Clunk? That's the kind of thinking I'm looking for. Anderson, why can't you think of ideas like that? Well, Anderson. Because that's the worst idea I've ever heard, sir. You're fired. You're a disgrace. Uncle Clunk wouldn't want you working here. Showbiz Pizza, you're out of here. Uncle Clunk wouldn't want that. You just mentioned him 30 seconds ago. This is not the kind of company. That's not the kind of attitude that me or Uncle Clunk stand for here at Showbiz Pizza. And then he's at home that night. He's like, I was in the board meeting and I just said something. He's like, I had smoked some salvia before the board meeting. Then I went in and I said something. I said something about Uncle Clunk and said I named a human animatronic one and the boss liked it. Like, what do I do?
And now I have to draw him.
I got to design Uncle Clunk. All right, so let's see Uncle Clunk.
All right, so Uncle Clunk, I'm going to bring him up here in just a second. His whole deal was that in between like the big musical numbers and the big ventriloquist act, in between the big show pieces, they would cut to Uncle Clunk. And his thing was that he hosted a call-in show called the Uncle Clunk Abomination. And he would get calls in, and then he would sort of banter with the callers. That was the idea.
Tom, this is like you. This is exactly
I am Uncle Clunk. Who knew? Who knew I was Uncle Clunk this whole time? Oh my God, look at that.
Yeah, that's exactly it looks what like me. You look a like when you were on WFMU.
I'm not unlike Uncle Clunk.
Oh my God.
I've never felt more heard on the air. He's got a little on the air sign behind him.
Is he a clown?
I'll say this. If I'm watching this and if Uncle Clunk starts going, look, I've had it with this Kevin Smith. Then I'm going to jump. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run into traffic. All right. Let's see Uncle Clunk in action.
So this is some test footage. This isn't live, but this is like they're like testing out the Uncle Clunk routine at Showbiz Pizza headquarters. So this is some test footage they shot of Uncle Clunk's act. And he's going to take a call here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try it again. All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Is this Spector's dry cleaning shop?
No, this isn't. This is the Uncle Clunk Abomination.
The what?
The Uncle Clunk Abomination.
Who is this?
Well, I'm Uncle Clunk.
Uncle Clunk?
Uh-huh.
Is this spelled with a K?
Uh-huh.
Yep. K-L-N-U-K. Yep. Uncle Clunk, can you believe this?
Well, well, gee, I'm glad you're so happy.
I'm happy.
Well, do you have a question or something I can answer for you?
Yeah, I got a question. Okay. How can you talk to me on the phone? If it doesn't have a cord attached.
Well, it's you. It's you know one of those. How rude! Well, I guess 'cause it's one of them their newfangled space phones, I suppose. Thank you.
Hey, Julie, it's me, Uncle Clunk.
That was one of the most genuinely disturbing things I've ever seen and been subjected to. Like, that was really scary and upsetting when the caller said, like, how can you hear me if there's no cord attached to your phone?
And then,
like,
roaring with laughter.
Yeah, that was, I mean, like, I genuinely feel the kind of feeling that people who make horror are like the Holy Grail for them.
Oh my God.
I'm very upset.
Hey, neighbor, I'm your new neighbor. I got the apartment next to yours. My name is Uncle Clunk. You got any AAA batteries?
Well, the thing is.
Hey, you're Julie Klausner.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm.
Let's do a little Uncle scene Clunk here. You get a knock on your apartment door.
Okay. Yes, hi.
Hey, it's your next door neighbor. I just moved in.
Welcome.
Thanks. You're from Difficult People, right?
I would close the door now. I would close the door. And then you'd hear like seven locks.
It's me, Uncle Clunk.
No, it's, here's the thing. Uncle Clunk himself is one thing. It's the caller I'm upset about.
Yeah. All that.
I mean, if anyone called the best show like that, you would have gotten them off the line right away.
Oh, it'd be gone immediately. Never ever tolerate that for a minute.
That's my only issue with Uncle Clunk, is he didn't set boundaries because he let that, like, demented. I'm very disturbed by this.
Yeah. I can't believe work. Yeah. I can't believe that Showbiz Pizza didn't want to go with an animatronic talk show host.
I mean, I will say that, like, the Uncle Clunk abomination is very descriptive.
Yes.
It's very accurate to what we just.
I think we need a palate. We need a palate cleanser now. We need a nice musical interlude. Could you throw a little Rock of Fire explosion our way, please?
Oh, gladly. Yeah, gladly.
Hey, it's me, Uncle Clunk. What's your Wi-Fi password?
I'm not telling you. Get your own Wi-Fi.
Which network is yours, Julie?
It's none of your business. You're not using it. I'm not giving you my password.
Can I get? You can't even let me on the 2G.
No.
Because
that you have one. It's called Clunkfy. I see yours.
Yeah, but look, there's some stuff Uncle Clunk wants to download that he might not want traced back through his router.
All right, here we go. The Rockafire explosion.
Okay, who's this?
This is the band at Showbiz Pizza that Uncle Clunk was saying he'd be back after a performance from.
And is this what people who grew up in states that didn't have good pizza, like, went to? I mean, like culturally, where were we? That, because I never went to a Chuck E. Cheese when I was growing up.
Yeah, it was not my thing either.
And I don't know if that had to do with, like, being from the East Coast.
Yeah. You ever do any magic at a Chuck E. Cheese, Brett, when you were a kid?
Not a Chuck E. Cheese. I did go to Showbiz Pizza several times as a kid, though. Not one of the Uncle Clunk locations.
Did it freak you out, or did you think it was fun?
I thought it was great, because as you're about to see, the Rockafire explosions is a bunch of fun. They're a lot of fun.
Because it looks like it could maybe be, like, upsetting, but it's fine. You're telling
me it's fine.
You
get ready, Julie.
Okay,
yeah, you be the judge.
Okay.
Coordinated dancing.
Greetings, Rockefeller fans. I'm Duke LaRue. And at this time, I'd like to introduce our birthday host himself, Billy Bob.
Thank you, Duke. You know, folks, one of our favorite traditions celebrating birthdays. And whenever one of our friends is having a birthday, we love to send out our best wishes with a song. Ain't that right, Looney Bird?
That's right, Billy Bob. And I got the refreshments in my barrel.
Now, I don't believe corn squeezing goes too good with pizza, Looney Bird.
Well, pause for a second. First of all, they edited this thing. They edited this thing a little too tight. Bird's talking right on the top of like Looney Bird's.
This is like Thelma Schumacher edited this.
Yeah, yeah. And we got an exciting thing we want to give birthday wishes to Billy, Susan,
Reginald.
We got a monkeys tribute down here.
Where's that? A tribute to Davy Jones.
Well, the Rockefeller Explosion would like to send a farewell to a wonderful friend and rock and roll artist from the 60s, Davy Jones, who died February 29th, 2012. As I remember it, Davy Jones was a member of the Monkees that the girls loved the best because he was so cute with his long hair.
Yeah, I remember that, Billy Bob.
And he sung all them sweet songs too, Looney Bird.
Yeah, like Daydream Believer and I Want to Be Free.
Yeah.
Free as a bird.
No, just free. I want to be free. That was his song.
Track.
Hey, do you suppose we could play some Monkees songs right now?
You darn right, Looney Bird.
Any Davey, chance we can play Tapioca Tundra?
Here we go.
What about At the Municipal's Court, Looney Bird? Okay, well, the gorilla opens. Sure.
Everyone we meet. And here we're the monkeys. The people say the monkey around.
I want it. This is very tasteful.
I like this.
It's a more tasteful tribute than I expected.
Yeah. If I had a lot of money, I would buy this band and I'd keep it in a room and they would play this.
Remember when Handy Did Daddy song was choreographed by Tony Basil?
It's written by Harry Nilsson. Hey, Looney Bird.
Any chance we could do Mommy and Daddy from Monkees Present?
Or Zorin Zam?
Zorin Zam. We're
going kind of deep here.
Uh-oh, we got to the Changes album.
We're going
to
do Teardrop City from the Changes album. It's only when Davy and Mickey were left.
Okay, we'll do one that Peter wrote. How about Tear the Top Right Off of My Head? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You tear the top right off my head.
Right off my head. You blow my mind.
Monkees are great.
I'm going blind.
Now, yeah, this Rock of Fire Explosion seems like fun.
They're pretty cool.
Now, I'll say what I'm intrigued by. Look on that right video list there, Julie. Rock of Fire Explosion documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to watch that on my own free time.
Are you going to watch it at the same time as the Velvet Underground documentary? And see if they sync up the way those people in that, like the who were obsessed with The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you play them both backwards at the same time, they meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, like, you know, Nico died.
Sure. No, I won't.
That's when they sing P.O. Box 5847.
Yeah. Did you watch the Velvet Underground documentary?
Me? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you watched it. Did it make you feel proud to be from New York?
You really think I'm going to be friends with you and not watch it?
I'm asking for the sake of the audience. It was a presentation.
Of course I watched it. I learned a lot. And I...
Did it make you proud to be from New York?
Absolutely proud to be and I mean Lou Reed, as far as like I could not be prouder as a Jew from New York that he's very 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 proud to be a member of his tribe.
I cried multiple times.
Mary Warnoff, we should get her on the show. She's such a genius.
I had that written down as somebody to get on like months ago. I wrote that down months ago.
Well, her work with Paul Bartel is so influential. Mm-hmm. You know, did you like Eating Raoul when you first saw it?
I did, yes.
There's such a funny joke in that. And it is kind of like a John Waters movie. It's like these two people called the Blands. I think it's Paul and Mary Bland, mm-hmm. move into this apartment, and all these swingers are coming in and they despise sex. They think it's disgusting. And there's this one really funny joke where I forget which one of them works at a sex shop, but they say that they're the flavors of lube are like cherry, grape, and trail mix. It's a really good joke.
I remember thinking it was very funny, Eating Raoul. I loved,
yeah.
Paul Bartel was so funny. Mary Warnoff is amazing.
He was brilliant. She's so cool and so funny and so gorgeous and sexy. And then she has like the greatest line in that Velvet Stock where she talks about how much they hated hippies and they were like picking flowers. And she's like, help the homeless.
Yeah, it was great.
Help the homeless. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know you're a California girl right now, Tommy, but
no, that's
you'll be back in the New York groove soon enough. I believe.
I've never not been. That's where just because I'm here doesn't mean that's not who I am.
I know.
Movie speaks for me.
I know. And I get it. I mean, it was definitely like, I definitely see how much I totally see you like. Being very, very, very affected by it on a deep identity level, in the same way that I think Uncle Clunk
affects others.
To me, so, yeah.
Lou Reed, your Lou Reed is Uncle Clunk.
Well, it's the call. No, it's the caller. Uncle Clunk's caller. I can't think of a scarier like.
No, that caller.
You know what they should do? Replace everything in every movie where the killer's on the phone with that caller.
Yeah.
That means like Scream, When a Stranger Calls, Black Christmas with young Andrea Martin, which I recently watched for the first time.
Okay. What if they remade Talk Radio with Uncle Clunk?
Would love to see Talk Radio with Uncle Clunk. I'd love to see Fisher King with Uncle Clunk instead of Jeff Daniel and Jeff Bridges.
Private Parts.
Mm-hmm.
Howard.
Private Benjamin.
Howard.
Got two more clips for you. You guys in the mood for two more clips?
Yeah, we are.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
So this first one is from Mike. Thank you, Mike, for sending this in. And
thanks, Mike. And thanks to everybody who sends clips in. We appreciate it. It's the lifeblood of Double Threat are the clips you send in so we can talk about them and all sorts of fun. So thank you.
And this clip from Mike, I'm gonna just introduce it and play it, but I want to tell you ahead of time, I have a real bone to pick with this clip. I'm going to play it though first.
Okay.
So this is Mike let us know about this town in South Georgia called Fitzgerald. And Fitzgerald is trying to drive some tourism, get more people coming in. And so they have decided to build a 62-foot topiary chicken in their town in order to drive tourism.
Oh my God.
And we're going to take a look at the mayor and so forth talking about that.
After I got fired from Showbiz Pizza, I went back to Fitzgerald and I pitched a 62-foot topiary chicken. I got fired because Uncle Clunk was a flop. But don't worry, I'm home and what I want to see now is a 62-foot chicken made out of bushes. All right.
Maybe you've seen the world's largest ball of twine in Minnesota or the world's largest rocking chair in Illinois. Pretty soon, you'll be able to see the world's largest topiary chicken in Fitzgerald. Suzanne Lawler pecked her way down to Ben Hill County with an update on this foul-feathered beast.
This is you, Brett. You're just begging
chicken
for
in
us
this town
to
mayor
send
Jim
you.
Puckett spearheaded this project to build the world's largest chicken. It's going to be a topiary. It's going to be an Airbnb. It will have aquaponics. And all of this is coming together so it can open at the end of this year.
Hold on. Sorry. Could you please break? Hold on. It will be an Airbnb. It will be a chicken. It will be a topiary.
Yeah.
It will be a library. It will be a cafeteria. It will be a hospital. It will be a spaceship.
Yeah. All this makes me want to do is build a chicken 1 inch bigger than their chicken Just like literally 1 inch. And then they're just like, God damn it.
Well, Tom, you're getting very close to the bone I have to pick with this. Okay. But let's keep watching.
So to hear them so all over town. And then you see the chicken crossing the road, literally. This town of just over 8,000 has quite a few fowl running amok in the streets and alleys, so it makes sense they would build a giant statue to celebrate the oddity, right?
A lot of people want to make jokes about a chicken bush. This is not going to be a bush. This is going to be a beautifully sculpted topiary.
Mayor Jim Puckett hatched the plan when he got into office. He's working with a guy named Topiary Joe, who built this giant elephant in California. The goal is to get this South Georgia hen house on the map. The story has popped up in numerous newspapers across the country, including the Wall Street Journal. And that in turn has folks squawking, calling City Hall to try and get into the future tourist attraction.
I've got my credit card in my hand. I'll book that B&B right now.
Not all of the locals are crowing for it just yet.
It's gonna take a while to get you over.
Did he say he'll book that Airbnb, or did he just say I'll book that B&B? Just go back for a second. I don't know why that's sticking in my craw.
It's your tourist attraction.
I've got my credit card in my hand. I'll book that B&B right now.
Not all.
He's clearly. He'll book that B&B.
I'll book that B&B right now.
I got my credit card in my hand. I'll book that B&B right now. I'll
book that B&B.
Why would he book it? He's building the thing. They can't throw him a free night.
If you build it, they will book.
All of the locals are crowing for it just yet.
It's going to take a while to catch up, I think.
I'm waiting on them to put the feathers on it.
That should happen this week.
Play both of those two people again.
The only person I like in this story.
It's going to take a while for them to get the head.
That's like the guy at the gas station with Leatherface. That's like the gas station guy in that movie.
This is like Neckman from Terralingua.
It's going to take a while to catch up, I think.
I'm waiting on them to put the feathers on it.
That should happen this week. The pandemic slowed things down. But you can see since we last visited, crews have laid in 19 tons of steel to fill out the skeleton. Right now, 8 200-gallon water tanks are on board. They will filter through the greenery. And the fish tank that's going to sit below the chicken to help fertilize the plants.
No,
Puckett says some have ruffled feathers over the cost of the project.
What I tell them
is the monorail. This is the monorail. This is the music man. This is 76 trombones. This is not happening. The whole town.
We can check in right now because there's actually a live feed of the chicken that I'm going to pull up right now.
Chicken feed.
Stop it.
Chicken feed, Tommy.
Yeah, oh my God.
This is a live feed we're looking at right now. As you can see, not a lot of progress from that report back
in
July.
So it looks like it's night in Georgia. This is the night the lights seem to be on in Georgia.
Yeah.
And there's just this, I mean, it's hard to call it a topiary because there's no foliage. There's no, you know, there's no shrubbery on it.
This dude's going to get voted out.
Who, the mayor?
Yeah. You know who I hope runs for mayor in his place?
It's going to take a while to get this thing going.
That guy's going to win. I mean, it does look like Wicker Man. It does look like they're preparing somebody to like get into this chicken and then burn it down. I don't like this. I don't like any of these people you're showing me clips of tonight, Brett, except I did like the guy who said the thing about the feathers.
Well, look, I'm right there with you, Julie, because the bone I got to pick with this thing, I wish nothing but ill will on this Fitzgerald 62-foot chicken, because there is already a giant chicken in Georgia.
What?
The town that I am from, Marietta, our number one landmark is literally called the Big Chicken.
No
and
way.
And it is a 56-foot tall chicken.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding?
That is fully made. It's been there for 50 years. I'm going to pull up pictures of it. It was bought by a KFC back in the 80s, so it's a Kentucky Fried Chicken now. But this is the Big Chicken in Marietta.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
The beak moves. The eye rolls around. It's right at the center of town.
But this is not a topiary, Brett. You understand that it's different in that regard, right?
It is not a topiary, but come on. I mean, clearly, Georgia already has a big chicken, 56 feet tall, and now down there, they're trying to build a 62-foot one. This is all my town is known for.
Brett,
so I'm really,
Brett,
you know,
I'm
steaming.
You're steaming. Look, God bless you. I'm not going to put you or the people of Marionette, Georgia down.
Marietta.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. No, nothing.
This thing, this, it's just a sign that they stuck a beak on. They stuck an eye and a beak on it. It's not really a chicken.
It's an engineering marvel. It was built by a Georgia Tech student. It moves around. It's got, it's animatronic. The eye
it's
rolls
beautiful.
Around. The beak,
it's
the beak
a
moves up
it's
and down.
It's a beautiful thing. It really is beautiful.
But you know what,
Tom,
Brett? Look.
Tom, just yeah? Tom.
What's that?
Just be nice, okay?
Yeah. That's true.
I don't want to ruffle his feathers.
Yeah,
I don't so want to speak about this.
Yeah.
This is a landmark. It's a national landmark. Tom,
no, it is. It really is.
Tom, just compliment the chicken.
No, it's a really nice chicken.
Brett, what's that?
It's a close up. Look at that.
Brett, gorgeous. You know what I'm going to do for you and the people of Marionette, Georgia?
Marietta.
I'm going to.
You're going to what?
I am announcing today I'm going to Marionette, Georgia, and we're going to build a 300-foot chicken.
Yes.
I don't understand why we can't just go to Fitzgerald, Georgia and burn that thing down. Because when we were on that chicken cam, look, look, what is it? Brett, please read what it says underneath chicken cam.
One watching.
Yeah. One. That's us. No one's watching.
Yeah. There's
we
no
could
one
go
watching
there
the
and the, this is what we could do. We could put Klan robes on so we could be anyone from town.
Yeah. They could, they'd
be like, oh, it's like, you know, it's like Kathy, Jim, and Lester. Yeah. I mean, based on their height.
If we're wearing, we show up wearing
Klan robes. Hoods.
All that'll
burn
do
that
is that the people
down.
Go, they'll go, you know what? We know three people that this isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause they see two people in Klan robes. They'd be like, well, we know two people in town who this isn't. Everyone else is a suspect.
Exactly.
In town.
This chicken, I'm looking at this chicken that could be a topiary one day, but it is so ripe for the burning.
Yeah. Then that
guy
will show
up. I've never seen a more flammable. It's a sitting duck.
I love
really.
This.
You
more
are
than, a, more than a topiary chicken. Yeah. It's a sitting. I've never wanted to light something on fire so
badly.
You
all wearing your Klan robes. I can't find my Klan robe. I think the chicken took it.
What did the comments say, Brett?
No comments.
No comments? You think they're deleting them from people from Marionette?
Yeah, it looks like they deactivated the comments. Must have been a lot of big chicken posters on here.
Yeah.
A lot of Marietta people.
We've got to burn down this chicken.
I've got one last clip for you here to send us out. This is just called, very simply, Man Sneezes Into His Trombone During Concert. And this is from Zachary. Zachary, thank you so much for sending us this.
Brett, do you think we laugh at this? Do you think Julie and I laugh?
Or do you think Julie laughs, Tom does it, or Tom does, Julie does it, or both of us, or neither of us?
And we'll be authentic with it.
If you're okay, I think you laugh at this.
That we both laugh. Okay.
Yeah, I think you both laugh at this.
All right, here we go.
Much like a sneeze, I think uncontrollably you laugh at this. Here we go.
Please play it again. I've never felt more anticipation. There's an 18 second clip. The 10 seconds of that 18 second clip waiting for something to happen, I've never been more on the edge of my seat being like, it's any second now. this has to happen. And then it exceeded what I would have hoped it would have been. Amazing.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Julie, I just want to say something about today's episode of Double Threat. Had a lot of laughs. It's very funny. Some surprises. Super fun. That's a 10.
Oh no, we're going to watch it again before we go.
Right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon. Ugh. Mm. Cover all 9,000 taste buds.
What is that?
It's like a big burger edit.
That top note. That cream. Pure vanilla.
Sweet. I think Vic Berger dreamt this guy up. And Brett, again, you did Terralingua. We appreciate you
going
for it. It was fun. And it was a good time, and the live stream is up and it's for purchase. Mm-hmm. Only $5 to get
That's a
3-hour tour de force with so many laughs on it.
Like Gilligan's Island, a 3-hour tour.
It is a 3-hour tour. 3-hour tour de force. Yes. That's the best $5 anybody's ever going to spend on that thing. It's so funny. It was such a good time. And you're not going to regret it. And
you go to vimeo.com/on-demand/doublethreat-terralingua or just click on the link in the show notes.
Yeah. And we are going to do so many more things. And we got such great guests coming up and all these great things on the horizon. And send us your suggestions for other live streams we can do. And send us clips to review at doublethreatpod@gmail.com. And follow us on all of the socials at doublethreatpod.
Yes.
And we got some great guests coming up the next couple of weeks. Oh boy, some real heavy hitters coming in to the Zoom room with Tom and Julie. So stay tuned for that.
Get ready for that. And we also have some fun with, I don't know. We got fun.
What?
I don't know.
Fun with what?
I don't know. Fun.
Clay?
Fun with Clay.
Yeah, how about that'll be a live stream idea. Julie and Tom play with clay.
Yeah, we'll just start doing stuff with clay.
We can do, but listen, I think that's a really fun idea. We'll do a live stream where the two of us play charades.
Oh, that'd be great. We'll do an all charades show.
I mean,
let's do it.
We'll do a karaoke one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I can't wait. We'll do
Why not?
We'll do a salvia show. Right,
we'll do a Splenda show where I have iced tea with Splenda.
I was turned into a Lego person and then someone hit me with a hammer and I shattered all over the floor. Then I was reassembled, but not in the same way I was before. Forever changed.
Forever dog.
Forever dog. Forever salvia. That's the new network.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you
guys,
so much.
Gals, all my folks.
Everybody,
we'll
we appreciate
see you soon.
It. We'll be back next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Forever dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.